You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
You know what's a game time decision? Me. And Cam Stewart. I am Gabriel Morency. He is the raging redhead, that Cam Stewart. Reminds me of Vin Scully, one of the greatest play-by-play men ever. And oh, there's a beach ball on the field. And the ball boys are discussing which one of them will go pick up the beach ball. This inning brought to you by Dodger Dogs. Dodger Dogs.
I could go for a Dodger Dog.
And 76 oil.
Oh, yeah. 76. Love 76.
You remember that, the old orange?
Just 76. Orange, 76. So a lot of people have them on their, 76 is good. Love 76.
It's a gas station.
Great, great convenience store in the 76.
The 76. Kicking it in the 76, man. Yes. But Vin Scully was once talking about a player who was day-to-day. And he's like, Steve Garvey's listed as day-to-day, but aren't we all?
Exactly. And we're more minute-to-minute.
Yeah, we're more of a game-time decision. But we're back after Donald Trump day yesterday. And, of course, it was President's Day. It's another day at the office here at Melrose Place Studios with some Champions League soccer going on. And considering I've got under 3.5, and it's 2-0 right now in the 61st minute. I could be in a little bit of a trouble.
Feels like a sweat job. Bayern Munich?
Yeah, and Batistis got somebody kicked out of the game.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Batistis.
Yeah. So they're running shorthanded, too, and you're playing Bayern Munich? Tough.
That's you know what? I wanted Bayern Munich, but you know the thing was, Ken?
Too much juice.
It was minus 800.
That's nuts.
And so I'm like, all right, I'll lay a goal and a half. Dude, that was minus 333.
Not enough.
I don't want to lay minus 333, and I didn't really want to bet them to win by three goals, which they probably are about to go up by three. we're sweating this one out.
Dude, a lot of sweating this afternoon. A lot of sweating.
Yeah, well, you know, that's par for the course for you.
Yeah, that's true. It's very hot.
When aren't you sweating yet? Yeah. Me and Cam, basically just played, push-the-button game. Like, I don't know, push this button, push that button. There's basically the union. There's a union strike with us here at Melrose Place Studios. And in fact, everybody walked.
They're gone.
Everybody walked. I'm like that Alex Jones. I'm like that Alex Jones ripoff character on the new season of Homeland. He's operating on the run. And his producer's leaving. She's like, I can't do this anymore. He's like, I don't know how to turn this stuff on. I just talked. I don't know how to. It's funny, too. She's like, it's very easy. You just hit this and post that. He's like, I don't know how to do that. You got to do that for me. It's actually a good. That's not a bad Alex Jones right there.
Not bad.
Mark Cuban should be worried less about trying to run for president and more about his Dallas Mavericks.
Damn right.
Yeah, see, in all honesty, actually, I don't know. Cuban's talking about, I see, Mark Cuban says, the best thing that the Mavericks can do right now is lose.
I'm not down with that.
It's like, all right, you know, I get it, but that's been your attitude for years, and it's not like you guys are drafting good players or anything like that. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban calls tanking brutal, but acknowledged that he told his team would be best to lose for the rest of the season. I'm probably not supposed to say this, but I just had dinner with a bunch of guys the other night, and we're like, you know, we weren't competing for the playoffs. I was like, losing is our best option. Adam Silver would hate hearing this, but I at least sat down and explained it to them, and I explained what our plans were going to be this summer, and we're never going to tank again. This was like a year and a half of tanking, and it was been brutal for me, but being transparent, I think that's the key to getting the kind of players and having stability.
They got no stability. You haven't been relevant in years.
I don't know. That's exactly. You have Dirk Nowitzki playing on the cheap. And what do you give him?
Dirk sunking. You just see shots of Dirk Nowitzki. It's like, this guy's going, like, you'll play forever. It's unbelievable. No, Dallas is.
Would you vote for Mark Cuban for president?
Are you kidding me? No. No. The thing is, he thinks he'd get votes. That's no. Just because you're on Shark Tank, you think you get some votes?
He sees Donald Trump and figures, hey, I'm more successful than this guy, or every bit as successful as this guy is. I'm not nearly as hated.
No.
And I'm much younger.
He also has
and I'm famous.
You say what you want about Donald Trump, but he's got a hell of a lot more charisma.
So let me ask you then, do you think, and yeah, no, Trump has, he's
charismatic.
Yeah, like,
what's Cuban?
Like, Trump would be a good stand-up comic. 3-0 Bayern Munich.
Yeah, they just keep on pouring it on.
Trump would be a good stand-up comic just because he is so funny. Yeah, Mark Cuban's not as compelling.
No.
But do you think the next president, if not Trump, will be a regular politician or a celebrity?
I'm thinking a regular politician.
You think people are going to say, you know what, we just had a reality television show host.
Exactly. And I think we're going to go back the other way.
Yeah, but some people think that Trump's doing a good job. So
some do, yeah. I don't know if Oprah's going to run, but if I don't know. If probably Cuban would run for the Democrats, I would think. I guarantee she'd beat him. I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I don't think Oprah's not going to run.
No, but I'm just saying, if she was
too many skeletons in the closet.
If she was in the mix, though, she would defeat Cuban hands down.
You know, Cam, if Oprah runs, then people are going to start poking around that whole Gail.
Weight Watchers, Gail King?
Gail and Steadman thing. So, like, what's the deal with you, Gail and Steadman anyway? Some people feel, you know, she's closer to Gail, if you know what I'm saying.
Weight Watchers is freeing. I'm done with that stuff. Yeah, that commercial drives me nuts.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, doing a Weight Watchers, that's not going to be used against her like a political campaign.
I don't think so. It's just an annoying commercial, Gabe.
You're a portly fellow, Cam. How could you hold it against her?
I lost a lot of weight. And first of all, what I'm watching on Weight Watchers.
I didn't say fat. I said portly.
Portly. Portly. Anyway, I'm watching these commercials where these chicks are eating chicken skewers going, hey, yeah, I lost 260 pounds. Sure you did. Yeah, you know what it is about Weight Watchers, Gabe? You get a brownie the size of a quarter. That's what you get. Oh, yeah, it's freeing, all right. Yeah, enjoy your portion size. Your whole meal is the size of circumference of an apple. Yeah, no wonder you're losing weight. Enjoy it.
Man, you'd be in a freaking bad mood, man, if you were on the Weight Watchers diet.
I'm in a bad mood now. I haven't eaten all day.
I can tell.
I'm starving. Like, I want to eat your arm right now. I've been losing my mind.
Is that what's rattling you?
Yeah, I'm actually really hungry. But it's okay. I think I got some pizza in my bag. Nibble during the break.
People actually really enjoy what's in Cam's bag.
Oh, do they? We'll do it all the time.
All right, so yeah, we'll check into the bag today.
So, you probably don't want to look today. There's food in there.
Now I'm more intrigued.
No, I just took my razor out. I'm supposed to shave. I just don't have any time.
Listen, I'm not in the best of moods either. And normally I try to break the ice before the show starts, just for entertainment purposes.
Yeah, I like when you break the ice.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I'll break the ice with Cam a couple of minutes, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do, buddy. That's what we do. We love breaking the ice. It's fun.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, we'll crack a joke or two, but nothing but tension today.
Yeah, it's been a long. It's been a long one, buddy.
Hour and a half golf show.
Missed the train. Yeah, you know the usual. Just the usual. Stay nice, friend. Just be good. I'm just looking at him right now. Going, just do your job, buddy. Come on, board. Everything's cool. When I see him smile with green, that means things are good.
I actually have confidence. I've got confidence in the board today. But I don't know, we might be having some issues with the mics.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's a constant. It's like Russian roulette with this stuff.
It is. We don't know what's going to happen, but
and eventually I'm going to just pull, you know, shoot myself, you know, at the end of it.
That's a good point. Thank God we don't have a firearm here.
Yeah. Well, don't say that.
No, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, don't say that. Then someone's going to try to kick the door.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. So Dave Malinsky is going to join us, big man on campus, at least, you know, expected to, tentatively to.
Yeah. How's this? Is his pick still scorching?
Yeah. Big man's grinding along.
That's good stuff. I heard you had a big night last night, too.
Yeah, we did. We did have a big night, but we got hurt this morning by the stupid Slovenians.
Yeah, he didn't know the Norwegian goalie was the second coming of...
Well, I actually knew the guy was going to be good. I actually did know the guy was going to be good. But I didn't think... I didn't think he was going to make like 48 saves. Listen, Norway were favored, so I guess we shouldn't be shocked.
No.
Yeah, Norway were favored. I guess we shouldn't be shocked, but it was extremely frustrating. Slovenia were like the way better team for like the entire game. And it was just one of those deals. The goalie stole it for them. What are you going to do?
Slovenia has actually been a good story for them because that's a country that doesn't get any respect. They've actually been playing over their heads. They're doing a hell of a lot better than people predicted.
They did. They won two games. Yeah. Now they're done.
Yeah, but that's a great that's a good showing.
For now them. Norway advances.
Norgi.
Yeah.
Norgi.
Nice jerseys.
Yeah, I've always liked Norway's colors. Very nice.
Yeah, Norway Norway advances. And Germany beats Switzerland this morning.
Germany's getting better all the time. You know about the Germans. It just takes them a little bit of time to figure some things out. You know they're going to get better and better and better. And then they play that defensive little system. Trust me, the Germans are they're going to be a hockey power soon. You'll see. Don't you think?
I wouldn't say power.
Well, they're going to be very, very competitive with the best because they're getting better all the time.
Well, they play a good defensive style of hockey.
They do. That's what I'm saying. They play.
They play like defense. A trap.
They don't make mistakes and they capitalize on your weakness.
They're like Switzerland, you know. Like, yeah. And that's why they played Switzerland. It was 2-1.
Yeah.
Under. They basically want to hold you to a 1-1 game and you know hope to bear it. That's what Norway did and it worked out for them.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, Germany's a decent hockey country though. Yeah, it's not. You know, I'll bet the German domestic league every once in a while. Yeah,
why not?
Take a look at the unders.
Yeah, great point. Defense, defense, defense. More defense.
Yeah, take a look at the unders. So yeah, Dave Malinsky is going to join us. We'll talk some college basketball. Big man on campus continues to light it up. So yeah, so far so good. So yeah, we apologize if we have any sort of mic issues right now.
I think I know. Sounds pretty good to me. You sound great.
Yeah, we do, but we never know how we sound.
Oh, okay. On the other side. Interesting. Interesting. Still upset about the horse game. I can't lie to you. I'd like to start making some money very soon. Agreed?
Yeah, the sixth place?
Yeah, it's just one of these things. It's just starting to piss me off.
If he doesn't get us, if he doesn't have a good run this week.
Like a top three performance, we got to start talking about.
Well, we have to sell him at some point. We're going to have to bite the bullet.
I know. That's what I was thinking, too. I'm like, how long can we go? Because you got to keep on going. You got to pay to get to the track. You got to do this. You got to do that. The fees are adding up. You need performances to keep the train rolling. Not getting them. Not in sixth.
No, and how many months do we want to keep digging in and paying to keep them going?
I'm thinking no more months. it sounds expensive.
Well, essentially, like a few more races. Yeah, and then we're going to have to try to dump them. But it's not like people are lining up to buy them right now.
That's another thing. Yeah, because his biorhythms are down. So he's just not at.
If he would run a couple of decent races, we could sell him.
Yeah.
We could sell him now, but we're going to end up taking a big loss when it's all said and done.
So you might as well get better
off
races.
Yeah, we're better off at that point instead of losing. You're better off biting a bullet and throwing him out there and praying.
I agree.
You figure one of these weeks you can fall ass backwards into finishing top three.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what we're hoping.
You know what? Watching him run, he actually looked good. I like the stride. Yeah. I like the way he looked, but he really got boxed in.
It happened
on Sunday night. There was a lot of traffic.
Traffic troubles in a standardbred race is so different than a thoroughbred race.
And the thing is,
get around.
Yeah, and it was a slow race too. The winner had a $1.57, Cam. That's what was frustrating to me about it.
It is frustrating. I'll tell you though, that's the problem with these things. You want your horse to be coming in. You want him to be coming in second or third, and on the outside there, the minute you get boxed in a heavy field, a competitor race, you're done. With a jockey, at least you can take a horse, you can kind of maneuver him, squeeze him through. There's a lot of things you could do. It's different with the chariots, buddy. It's hard. You got to be in real perfect position. Coming around that hammer turn for the end, you want to be just slightly in lead or the outside so you don't get boxed in and you can box out other people.
I've got five hockey picks for tonight. Well,
I got one, two.
And I've got some DraftKings. Tony Sincata will be with us at 6 o'clock.
Yep, I got five or six hockey picks too.
Yeah, normally I wouldn't have that many hockey picks, but
tonight.
The board just sort of jumped off. You know, I'm like, man, I like this game, I like that game, I like this game.
I was with you last night. I took Anaheim too. I'm starting to feel like an Anaheim as a pooch, a 2-0 win over Vegas. I'm starting to feel it. Things are starting to change, man. Things are happening. This team is starting to go. Oh, it's not that easy anymore. Hey guys, how are you going to do in the second half of the season? Fade, 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 make money.
Well, teams have seen them as well, right? Yeah. Sort of like a pitcher going through.
Good call.
You know, a pitcher pitches in the league. People don't know his stuff. Sees him a second time, maybe a third time. You know, by the time August and September comes around, they're like, all right, I know what this guy's going to do. Mm-hmm. And I think people are starting to see that with Vegas a little bit right now. Still a dangerous team, but everyone's on the bandwagon, so they're extremely overpriced all the time now.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to take them as a favorite. The teams in the Western Conference are starting to plant that at home, too. Think about the games they've lost recently at home. They've lost to Philadelphia as a minus 220 favorite, lost to Anaheim. So this mystique, yeah, they're still a wicked hockey team. But look, pick your spots and look to make some money betting the other team as a pooch. That's what I'm saying.
Still 3-0 in this soccer game right now.
Tick, tick, tick. You need it to end.
The other big one, is Chelsea and Barcelona, 1-1.
Ooh.
You know what? The draw was attractive before this game started, but I didn't have the balls to pull the trigger on it.
What happened in that, Porto, and what did they lose? 5-0 to Liverpool that time? Wow.
Yeah, they got smoked. That was last week.
Yeah, exactly. So now they got to score basically 6 goals on the aggregate.
Not happening.
It's not happening. That's what I'm saying. They're done.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Dave Malinsky will join us. Big man on campus. D. Tony Cincata. We got a ton of picks and DFS for you on the program today. Game Time Decisions Radio, Red Heat and Rage.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Radio Game Time Decisions. Are we having fun yet, Cam?
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, you're having more fun than I am, then, buddy.
It's okay, buddy. I'm just trying to stay positive, Marantzi.
So do I, actually. But
actually, as we've been older, I think we're taking our rage. Like, we still have it.
But God just continuously he continuously tests me.
He's giving us a lot of body shots lately. It's just, you know, just gee, over time. You think we got out of the round, but geez, oh, it's tough. I'm with you. I know. It just keeps on happening and happening and happening. But we're going to get there, friendo. 4-0 now. I didn't want to tell you that. But
oh, of course they just scored.
Yeah, it's just... something I didn't want to say. Yeah, lots of goals in the soccer games, man. 4-0, 5-0, craziness. Absolute nuts.
Interesting
games on the college board tonight, Marantzi. We got a lot of stuff.
All right. So I understand we apologize if we still have any sort of mic issues. We've been speaking into the wrong mic, essentially, basically. I don't know. Everything, you know, we're on a computer system here. We're on a computer program, guys. And stuff resets, like, on a daily basis, evidently. So, you know, we've got to reboot everything continuously, recheck everything before, which we could have today, except Cam was doing a golf hit right before the show started that went a little long. So it put us in a tough spot. But I swear to God, Cam, every freaking day, and I'm lucky I'm saying freaking,
yeah.
Every day we have, like, a new issue.
Yeah, I know. It's... at least we're starting to figure it out, though. We're becoming our own tech guys, right?
Yeah.
Trying.
All right. So Dave Malinsky, he's his own tech guy. He steps up and in straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can read his daily column on the front page of sportsbookreview.com. Dave, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
You know, Gabe, am I the only guest you have that started betting on a rotary dial phone 35 years ago?
You know what? With the exception of maybe Mark Lawrence. Yeah, I'd say Mark Lawrence.
Mark Lawrence, I believe, went back to the days where you had a couple of tin cans with string tied to it. How am I saying that? Okay, but I think, yeah, Mark goes way, way back to those days.
Yeah, the old school rotary phones. Yeah, it's amazing. You know, Technology is good, Dave, but it can be frustrating, and it'll also eventually be the death of us.
No, I think we were most likely going to die anyway. We would have just died happier without technology. Because it's funny, even though it helps us to do things so much more easily, people spend more time complaining when it goes bad instead of appreciating it when it goes good.
That's a good point. You're more of a glass half full guy, Dave. I'd say
he's a positive guy.
Dave's more of a positive guy. So, Dave, let's jump into the college basketball. As far as tonight is concerned, the Big East has been an interesting conference this year, a higher scoring conference this year. A lot of points being put up on the board. Tonight we've got Butler and Creighton. Final home game of the year for the Butler Bulldogs tonight, Dave.
Yeah, I think this might be a special one. You know, the last home game doesn't mean as much for a lot of schools as it used to. You don't have that many kids to stick around for 4 years. Butler's got two kids who've not only done it, leading scorer Kalen Martin, their best inside guy Tyler Weidman, but these guys are also roommates. There is a special bond and chemistry between them. I think this is one of these times, given the nature of the Butler program, this is a senior night that actually is going to bring a little bit of emotion out there. These guys have been through an awful lot for that school.
Yet it doesn't mean they're automatically going to cover the point spread, does it? Yeah, that's the thing. You know, and you look at Creighton coming in here. What is it right now? It's an even six. Totals come down a little bit, 156.5. Is it too many points, though, Dave, with the emotion of it being the last home game?
Yeah, but getting close now, where a lot of teams get in trouble from a point spread standpoint in the last home game is if they're big favorites. And you get out there and you get a 10-point lead, and you want to bring the kids off the court in the final minute to a big ovation. That doesn't work if you're laying 14. Tonight, at least, as long as the spread is in doubt, these two guys will be on the court. But here's the issue for Creighton. Now, Creighton runs some of the best offense in college basketball, but this defense game isn't making stops. They've been Big East road dogs four times this year. They gave up 90 at Seton Hall, 92 at Xavier, 85 at Providence, 98 at Villanova. So here's a team that in their road dog settings in the conference, giving up over 90 points a game, they just don't defend.
This isn't your granddaddy's Big East anymore, Dave. Remember in the old days, Ken, the Big East, you know, it was
they were low scoring.
57, 55 was an average type of game. Real physical battle, you know, at Madison Square Garden, Dave. Now, they're track meets. They're playing track meets. You just mentioned the points that Creighton have been giving up as of late. And we see this across the board. This conference has just been playing to the over all year long.
Yeah, I mean, it's still tough basketball. And one reason why the Big East has remained strong despite all of the fears when they went to the realignment, these are still city schools for the most part. You still have tough kids, but this is this one year where almost everyone in the Big East has a good backcourt. So they run good stuff. They get good shots. You've got shot makers out there. Creighton a little bit different, though. Creighton has not moved into that East Coast city realm yet. They've got the shot makers. They don't have the toughness.
Hey, Dave, heading to the ACC, Boston College and NC State there. What a steam movement in this game. We saw 8, and now it's down to 5 in that game. Interesting stuff. Total 158, BC and NC State. That's heavy line movement in that basketball game.
I am real surprised by this one, except it's the third game in a row there's been big money behind Boston College. So somebody likes that team in the marketplace, but they like them more than I do. And BC was a team we played on early in the year. One of the keys being they have very, very little depth. And while that sounds bad, sometimes it's good if you have a lot of veterans because it means you have chemistry. If you've got a tight core playing most of the minutes, you're going to execute well. But now you get to February. You start to wear down a little bit. That was a big home revenge game for BC against Notre Dame Saturday, and they didn't have the legs to play defense. Never really got in the hunt, lost the game by 17. But even in losing by 17 points, their two best players had to play the full 40. The Boston College bench had 2 points and 2 rebounds the entire game against Notre Dame. So I think the guys betting on BC now are late. I think they've played their best basketball. They're going to be vulnerable on the road the rest of the way. because these bodies are going to be worn down. And by the way, don't sleep on NC State as a potential team that could sneak as far as the Sweet 16. This is a well-coached team playing some really good energy.
Dave, interesting basketball game tonight in the Big 12, West Virginia and Baylor. Baylor's starting to heat up a little bit right now, riding a five-game win streak. Meanwhile, the West Virginia Mountaineers coming off the loss against Kansas. And I wonder, you know, we saw last night, Northwestern came out, played well in the first half, and then eventually fell apart once again. And, you know, we were wondering about their emotional state after that Michigan State collapse on Saturday. Now you've got West Virginia coming in here, Dave, and it seems like Bob Huggins is, you know, he's still upset and he's still talking about what happened at Kansas with the free throw discrepancy. And like I said, unless it's Tim Donaghy refereeing, it's real rare you're going to get a 35-2 discrepancy or whatever the hell it was, Dave. So, you know, Huggins isn't happy, but I think there could be a little bit of a hangover effect here. Baylor not really getting a lot of respect, getting a point on their home court. Big game tonight. What do you think the psyche of the Mountaineers is, and what's your take on Baylor right now on their five-game win streak?
Yeah, keep in mind that Tim Donaghy was savvy enough to never have something be 35-2. He might have had like a 35-6.
I think he went 24-6 or 24-8, I think, is as extreme as he got.
Yeah, he knew to never make it be too egregious. I think West Virginia is real vulnerable here, also because this is an unusual setting. They did not go home after the Kansas game. They've stayed out there on the road. So if you've had a frustrating loss, I'd rather have the kids home in their own beds, at their own training table for their meals, in their own routine, instead of a couple of nights schlepping around hotels, not eating the same type of food. So they can be vulnerable. I don't understand the line move. The one thing Baylor has done in these Drew versus Huggins head-to-heads, they've handled the Mountaineer presses. 3 of the 4 years on this court in the West Virginia pressing era, Baylor wins by at least 9 points. When they played at Morgantown earlier, West Virginia only wins 57-54. The things West Virginia does won't bother Baylor. So give me a very hot Baylor team right now. I keep in mind, you talk about winning 5 in a row. The loss before the win streak was a 2-pointer at Oklahoma at the buzzer. They're not too far away from winning 6 in a row. They're not supposed to be the underdogs here.
Hey, Dave, I enjoyed the story on SBR about the train wreck that is the Mississippi Rebels over the last little while. Great stuff. Losing these guys, losing by 33, by 18, by 17, playing Missouri tonight, line up to 7.5 in the SEC battle. Very interesting stuff. These Rebels, man, they look beat down and bad right now.
It's another strange market move because it was 9.5 out there at the get-go today. And why does anything get better for Mississippi? Because here's one of the keys. Now, Andy Kennedy, you know, announced last week he was going to resign at the end of the season. On Sunday, he said, you know what, these kids don't want me here anymore. I'll leave now. The problem is to make things get better, the players and coaches have to have a reason to. Now, none of the current coaches will be back with Ole Miss next year. 3 of the top 6 guys in the rotation are seniors. They won't be back. And, of course, even the underclassmen. And we ran some quotes at SBR about this because you saw what Kennedy had to deal with. Sophomore guard Brian Tyree has come right out and said, at the end of the day, I have to do what's best for me. So he won't guarantee that he's coming back. So if the seniors are gone, that losing season is clinched. If the current interim coaches are going to be gone, if Tyree is already thinking about transferring out, how does this get better? You know, what are you accomplishing on the practice court to make a bad situation improve in any way? It may just go from bad to worse because they don't have a particular reason to buy in. They're not going to a tournament. They've got a losing season. It may only get worse.
Meanwhile, Dave, in Starkville right now, things are going pretty good for Mississippi State. They've covered 7 straight basketball games coming into tonight's contest with Texas A&M. I think we've got a live dog here, Dave. We're seeing a lot of competitive conference games down the stretch right now, teams on the bubble, et cetera. I don't think the Aggies pull away from the Bulldogs tonight.
No, there's a phrase we like to use for teams like Mississippi State. They are low variance. That is a hard team to put out of the game. I mean, they're 19 and going for win number 20 tonight, so they're probably going to make the tournament. But go back through this Mississippi State log. They're in connection everywhere. You know, they've lost back-to-back road games, but they lose to Vanderbilt on a three-pointer at the buzzer. They lose at Missouri in overtime. And the road game before that, they won at South Carolina. So it's going to be a little varied. You might beat them, but you're not going to put them out of the game. Ben Howland has been there for a couple of years now, so he has players that know his system. And his system keeps you in games.
You've been riding Nebraska a lot this year, Dave. Nebraska laying 3 right now against Indiana. Indiana starting to put it together a little bit. They've been playing well over the last 2 weeks. Is this a trap with Nebraska tonight? Is this a trap with the Huskers in this spot, only laying 3 to Indiana?
You know, it could be, because one of the reasons why we've been betting Nebraska a lot is not so much that Nebraska was good, it's the markets didn't rate them properly.
Yeah.
Now the line's getting out there in the right place, because you're right about Indiana. If you look at this last Indiana sequence, again, like Baylor, it was triggered first by a close loss. They lost by 3 to Michigan State 5 games back, final possession. Since then, they've won every game. What happens in February when you're winning? Players buy into what they're doing. So all the things that Mississippi doesn't do because they're losing, Indiana does it because they're winning. Now they're buying into a first-year coach. When you get rewarded, you play harder, you dig down on defense. I like the way Indiana's doing things the right way, so I think they'll just continue to get better. This is the one night I don't want any part of Nebraska.
Hey, Dave, interesting game on the board, too. Kentucky, a team, you know, not playing regular Kentucky basketball, but playing a lot better recently now and getting 5.5 against Arkansas. Gabe and I were talking. They might be a live dirty pooch on the road tonight. What do you think of Kentucky against the Razorbacks tonight? I think they're starting to get their play a little bit better and get their game back.
Arkansas will kind of allow Kentucky in because Arkansas will play a loose open court game. And that's when Kentucky's been at their best. When Kentucky has to run half-court stuff, when they have to make decisions, they don't make good decisions. But when they can just go out and play, and Arkansas will allow that, yeah, this is one that Kentucky could be in because Kentucky could throw them all over top of the presses. They can attack the basket. I can see them being in this. They've got better players than Arkansas. These players have been outsmarted by other teams. Arkansas's not going to outsmart them.
And you know what it is, Dave? I don't really think Kentucky is really playing all that great. It's more, as you talk about, it's more the marketplace right now in which the public believes that Kentucky are really bad. We saw last week they were getting 9.5 at Auburn. They ended up losing by 10. Right now, though, clearly there's some sharp money that disagreed with the early number, Dave, and took advantage of this because there's no more sevens on the board right now with Kentucky. We're only getting 5.5.
Yeah, now keep in mind that one reason why Kentucky hasn't progressed is it's an awkward fit. The thing that John Calipari had almost always had in all these, even through all these one-and-done years, he had a prototype point guard and a prototype number 5 offensive scorer in the post. He doesn't have either this year. There's not a real floor leader at the point. There's not a go-to guy in the paint. So they're just sort of mixing it up from game to game. That's made it challenging for Calipari. This is the type of coaching he hasn't had to do. Now, he's talking a lot about motivating kids, about them not playing hard enough, about trying to keep their spirit up. Now, a lot of this is X's and O's. This is a different style of team. So he doesn't have that comfort level of just giving a ball to Tyler Ulis or John Wall or someone saying, hey, go make a play. He doesn't have that point guard to go make a play.
Dave Malinsky, if you want to get a lot smarter, read his column, sportsbookreview.com. It's right there on the front page. Vegas point blank. And Dave, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. You've been warned.
Yeah, the red carpet, by the way, is being rolled out, except in your case, it's not a carpet. It tends to more be blood, Dave.
Yeah, I was going to say, it could be a red siren being rolled out. Sirens, Dave, sirens.
We will be ready for you in whatever form is required.
Red wine. Thanks, Dave.
All right, thanks, guys.
Dave Malinsky, sportsbookreview.com. His column's right there on the front page.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone, we promise. No weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Joining us momentarily. Thanks to Dave Malinsky for joining us. Tony Sincotta will step up and in at 6 o'clock. We're going to talk some DFS.
Got to give Tony a lot of love. In his golf lineup, he had Bubba Watson in it there. He showed us there. The guy had a fantastic, fantastic DFS lineup. You got to love Sincotta. This guy's money in the bank, Gabe. So you want good picks. Tony, he's knocking him out of the park.
Yeah, and you know what? I was ready to talk a lot of smack to the King, Scott Engel, actually, because me and the King got into it. I understand why people, the King can ruffle your feathers. But he's a Hall of Famer, right? Fantasy Hall of Famer.
And a friend.
So I told him, I like Brendan Gaughan. And he's like, that's a horrible pick. He's like, Brendan Gaughan, he won't even finish the race. And no, don't do Brendan Gaughan. And, he starts throwing some other names out there. So I told him, I said, hey, King, yeah, you are aware that Brendan Gaughan finished in 11th place last year in the Daytona 500. I don't think he was because I caught him off guard with that. So Brendan Gaughan was in freaking fifth place, with like two laps to go, and somebody took him out.
Oh, God.
I was this close. And you know what's funny, too? I was about to tweet the King.
Yeah.
Like, I was literally the second this race is over, because I didn't want to mush it. The second this race is over, I'm tweeting Engel and going, hey, how did Brendan Gaughan do? But then, of course, he got taken out.
Yeah. And he'll tweet you back, long gone.
Yeah, long gone. Yeah. All right. I believe we've got Jeff Nadeau, a.k.a. Big Man on Campus, stepping up. And what's going on, Big Man?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Hey,
Pretty good there, Big Man.
Good stuff. Big Man. Thanks for joining us. I'm a little bit pissed. I didn't just lay like 2.5 goals or 3.5 goals with Bayern Munich. Yeah, and especially they're playing against a team that was down a man. They end up winning 4-0 when it was all said and done. But it's hard.
5-0.
Five. They scored another one while we're fixing things.
Oh, right at the end, five.
Sorry.
Yeah. It was -800, and, minus a goal and a half was -333, so 5-0 final score.
Wow.
Should have just bet the over.
They went down early, I think 60th minute, Pesek just lost the guy. Look, I mean, they're on the road to begin with. I'm not a big fan of backing Turkish teams, Russian teams, those kind of area teams away from home. It's just not a great thing to do. They got work today, and then a man down. It was going to be a long day for them after that happened.
All right, so we just had Dave Malinsky on. We were talking some college basketball, and I've gone through. We went through some of the games, but I'll throw out. We crushed it last night on the college hardwood, 4-1 in NCAA last night. We look to keep it rolling this evening, and I'm looking at some underdogs here tonight, Big Man. I'll throw my picks out there, and then you can say whether you like them or dislike them. And then maybe if you've got a pick or two you want to share with us. So I like Mississippi State plus the points tonight against Texas A&M. Scorching. These guys have covered 7 straight basketball games right now. I don't trust A&M laying 6.5, 7. I think it's going to be a higher scoring game, over 138.5. Rhode Island, 11-2 to the over, last 13 road games. I'm going to continue to ride that. We talked about the Baylor game. We got West Virginia and Baylor. West Virginia coming off that loss to Kansas. Huggins is still complaining and crying about the reffing the other night. It's a revenge spot. We got Baylor playing on their home court. 5-game win streak right now. I like the Baylor Bears tonight. You have any thoughts on that game, Big Man?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think you really hit the nail on the head with. Yeah, I still think West Virginia is still a little whiny about that whole thing. It was only on Saturday. look, and this is not. This is a problem West Virginia has. They're one of the worst teams in the country on the road fouling, personal fouls per game. The average almost 23 a game. That's a lot. You're facing a team tonight that for the most part, you know, is good against the press. The comp should be able to handle that pretty well. Baylor needs to keep winning. They can't really afford losses. They're strictly on the bubble. They need to kind of cement themselves a bit. And they're at home. They're really good in that area this year. I'm not a big Scott Drew fan. Never have been, never will be. But this team's playing well right now. I think they match up pretty well. And I really like Baylor at home. I think you got the right play there, Gabe, with Baylor.
Let's hope.
Hope for a good play.
Let's hope.
I got an interesting one for you guys. Some teams just got certain teams' numbers, and you talk about Rhode Island, the total, but the Rams 8-0 ATS as road faves versus LaSalle. Like, these guys just go into LaSalle to beat the Explorers up time they play.
Big man's in Philly, of course, so he's going to have an opinion on LaSalle. I've got an opinion on Temple. They can go F themselves. That's my opinion on Temple. Do you believe that, big man, the other night? I know you
were
at the game.
I had the over.
I had the over, 140 points, 80 to 59. You know what I mean? Like, you give me 59 freaking points.
Yeah, unbelievable. They just were not prepared whatsoever. Donnie and I were at the game watching it. We're sitting there, and it looked good in warm-ups. You know, they had a big game, you know, pretty good atmosphere. And it's time for Fran Duffy to move on.
Never cash the bet in a warm-up.
No.
That's good.
It was a tough one. But as far as LaSalle,
they were in the game until the pregame warm-ups were over.
And they just aren't coached correctly right now, and that's the big problem. Fran Duffy needs to get his walkie papers and take a walk. You know, we need to set him, go back to Penn or wherever you want to go. But he's really destroyed this program. John Chaney was such a historic coach. I mean, guys, this is a team, Temple, that's won the fifth most games in the NCAA history. I mean, this is a storied program. This is a program that, when I was a kid, I mean, they were like the fifth team in this city. Now they're just another team. But as far as LaSalle's concerned, they have two real good guards, Johnson and Pookie Powell. But other than that, like Gabe said, or like Cam said, Rhode Island does have the number. Rhode Island's off a loss as well. Rhode Island really needs to kind of get right here. This is a tough road game. They've had some close calls this year. I mean, on the road particularly, you know, some of these home games, even with, you know, Fordham and some of these other teams, LaSalle doesn't defend. They don't do really anything well. And they've had their number. They know this team well. I would probably go with Rhode Island as well. Pretty decent number.
Yeah, a couple of games flying under the radar in the late night hours tonight. Northern Iowa and Valpo. This isn't your normal Northern Iowa team. This isn't the same. You know, they're just not as good. And they really struggle on the road, so much so that they're 0-9 on the road this evening. They're at Valpo tonight. Valpo laying -2.5 on their home court. You know, Valpo intrigued me due to the fact Northern Iowa have just been absolutely inept on the road, big men.
Yeah, that's my big concern with the game. I think they're an okay back at home, but you mentioned it. I think they only have two road covers all season. They're over the last 10. I think they're 0-9-1. So, yeah, not anything to really write home about. The problem I have with both these teams, and we see it, and I mentioned this to you the other night when you and I talked on your on the other show, you have teams that are just kind of stuck in neutral. They can't really improve where they're going. They're both going to the conference tournament. You're getting later and later in the year. This game is virtually meaningless to these teams. I mean, that's kind of – and it is.
And another thing is, too, you're betting on Valpo. Yeah. Another thing is, they're not very good.
No.
Right? So
no, you bring up Northern Iowa.
I'm betting on a
powerhouse.
I'm betting on a situation that Northern Iowa are, like Big Man said, not only that they haven't won a game on the road, Cam, they don't cover. Basically, all I got to do is win this game with Valpo, right? Another intriguing one here, too, with a team that really struggles on the road, guys, Sheriff Lobo.
Oh, we're going to Laramie for a smooth smoke?
Yeah. Sheriff Lobo's in the drunk tank. Wyoming could be the play tonight, big man. New Mexico have really struggled on the road as well.
Yeah, they have. And you know, look, this stuff isn't going to get any easier tonight. I mean, Wyoming is one of the more complex places to go in the country. If you're not familiar with it. The problem that New Mexico has is they have a lot of new players this year that might not be as experienced. It's tough going there. You have to, you know, it's kind of up in the mountains, very high. It's a tough trip to take going to Laramie. And I think, you know, to add to the road woes to begin with, it's not a particular spot that I'm looking at. The problem I have with Wyoming is they are just horrid on defense. So I have a hard time really laying points at them in general. If this was 1.5, 2, maybe I'd be interested. But at 4.5, I mean, who knows if
I've
Wyoming
been to,
half the time.
Yeah,
I've been to Laramie. I've actually been there.
What a place.
And you know who I was there with? You can't make this up. Mick Ossie. Nick.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine being in Laramie?
Could I swear, you imagine I remember, your like, life? I
we
mean,
walked.
You're with Mick
you should have seen
it
in the diner. You should have seen it in the diner when he ordered. Like you should have seen the stairs,
Dave,
big
can
man.
Can I get something?
Hey, can I get a bacon and eggs? And like he's yelling.
They're like, what the hell? Who is this
I'm
guy?
Not. I'm not exaggerating. Yeah. There really were like. Yeah. Like it was just hunters everywhere. Dudes like with the sort of the orange duck hats and. Everybody had a gun.
Target practice.
Everybody had a gun. Like, this was 2002 as well. So we literally slept in a parking lot of, like, next to a gas station of a diner. Went in for breakfast there. Yeah, you should have seen the looks in Laramie, Wyoming.
I got a stat
with,
for you, too.
With Mick Ossie. What do you got, Ken?
Yeah, well, Sheriff Lobo, listen to this one. 2-10 ATS coming off consecutive wins when facing Wyoming. So another feather in your hat if you like New Mexico and Sheriff Lobo.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so let's take a look at Big Man on Campus's Twitter account because he posts plays on a daily basis. But you're holding out so far, Big Man. Have you put together your card yet?
Well, I usually give it out on my show at 5, but I have no problem mentioning a play that I'm very much interested in. I'm looking at NC State tonight, and I'm seeing this line really kind of plummet. I mean, it opened 8, it's down to 5. A lot of money coming in on BC tonight. People really read into this team, against the number. They've been pretty good for the most part, but I'm noticing in a lot of the step-up games, they're not having any success. You look at tonight with NC State. This is a good schematic matchup to me for NC State. They're back at home here, must win. They're squarely on the bubble. You cannot afford a loss to a quadrant 3 type team that Boston College is. Just can't have it. I like NC State because they're a good perimeter defense, great against the 3. Boston College is very dependent on the 3-point shot. They want to open up a lot of 3s. I also like the matchup for the bigs for North Carolina State. Very limited for BC as far as bigs are concerned. I look at the front court. I think they can win there. They're going to win in the half court, and they have the ability to press, which Kevin Keats loves to do coming over from Wilmington. I'm gonna look at laying the 5 here with NC State. I think they get the job done, 88, 74, something like that. I think they win by double digits or more.
Cam, I've got – I like
that
it.
Would be NC State in the over, correct?
I like it. I like – I'm on NC State as well. We were talking with Dave Malinsky. He likes the pack tonight.
You're getting the bad side of the number. If you like Boston College, you could have got it at 8. Now it's 5, mm-hmm.
That's a fair number.
Yeah, and right now. A lot of public money coming in on BC. Public likes them. I guess they think his number's a little too high. But it's a pretty good matchup for NC State on both sides of the ball. So
Sharp money's been coming in on Kentucky. And I guess, I guess I'm one of them. I like Kentucky, but I liked it better at 6.5, 7 this morning, down to 5.5. But this one's for you, Cam. And all kidding aside, big man, there's been some steam on this. And quite frankly, I'm not sure East Tennessee State should have been favored by 19.5 against the Citadel.
This one's
I haven't bet on the Citadel once this year, Cam.
My buddy loves it. He loves the
they're
Citadel.
They're 3-7 straight up in their last 10, but they're 6-4.
He went to the
against
Citadel.
Against the spread. And you know what? How can we not take them, big man, when I see our boy Pee Wee Herman, a.k.a. Bob Bano, he's on Twitter right now pimping the Citadel.
Yes.
Well, that's nothing different. He bets them every week, I feel like. But,
you see Babano's cards. Babano's cards.
I'm on the mailing list now. It's long.
They're longer than Cam's grocery list.
It's interesting.
Babano sends out 68 games a night.
I can't even find
someone. He's like, half unit.
Yeah, it's like I'm looking at Shook Knight's rap sheet. It's amazing. I 60 plays a night, it's hard to keep track of that. But, I got to tell you guys, I know Cam mentioned, his boy like Citadel. I can't get interested in the Citadel. This team has really looked like the Citadel lately. They give up 90 points a game, for God's sakes. I mean, East Tennessee's among the best teams in this conference. I mean, Citadel's coming off a loss to the Virginia Military Institute, a game that is a rivalry for them, should have a better performance. They also just gave up 116 points, not to Stanford, Samford. So Yeah, I have a hard time with this. East Tennessee, their coach just signed an extension. I'd expect a real good, night from them tonight. They're going to get their guy for the next couple months. He's not going to leave them. He's going to be there for the foreseeable future. At home, Citadel gets run here, I think. Guys, they're an awful defensive team, and they're back to their old ways, it seems like.
You know what? Last night we cashed. I wish we had Savannah State games and Hampton on the board all the time. The total was 170. Oh, yeah, they hit. They cracked 200. They cracked 200.
Savannah's actually the top. As far as possessions per game, they're number one on Savannah. And basically their whole goal is to just go as fast as possible, shoot a ton of threes. Yeah, keep your eye on Savannah in their MEAC tournament. They're a team that
they love. Yeah, yeah. And now we'll be betting the totals in their games. Looks like Hampton will probably be the class. They'll probably get through this, or at least find a way. They're not that good. I think they're losing.
Yeah, they
get to the tournament. They always win this tournament.
They're still living that.
And big man, you know this. You know, and you got to get out of here. I know, big man. But you know this. Sort of like Savannah, the records are a little bit deceptive because if you look at teams like Hampton and Savannah, they're playing the Kansases and the UNLVs for the first 14 games.
Exactly. It's important when you're looking at their stats and trends. It's important you're looking at their conference numbers as opposed to their higher-end numbers. But, yeah, no, I like Hampton. They're under Ed Joyner. They do a nice job every year. But for me, it's North Carolina Central. Saw them last night on TV. They have a kid, R.J. Cole. He's fantastic. He's with the Fire in the Conference. I'd be looking at them, but looking at the conference numbers, not the full year.
I know you got to get going, big man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Always appreciate you guys. Thanks, guys.
Take it easy.
Big man on campus. You can follow him at Twitter, at Jeff Nadeau.
Hampton, a 15 seed, beating the 2-seed Iowa State Cyclones. One of the biggest upsets.
Want to stay at the Hampton Inn in Vegas?
Why not? Is it cheap?
On the other side, me and Cam will decide. Maybe we'll let you decide. Should me and Cam share a room in Vegas?
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
Level two. Twisted Tuesday edition of Game Time Decisions Radio with Red Heat and Rage. I am Gabriel Moret, sitting alongside the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Level two brought to you by MYB Casino. That's mybcasino.ag. Live dealers, Vegas casino games, virtual horse racing.
I'm getting sick and tired of driving an hour to go to the damn casino, too. So, you know what? It's nice when
it's
at home.
Don't have to go drive anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're like, man, I'm, sort of like aphrodisiacs, but I've had a bad experience with an online. I don't like playing online casino games. Understandable. Understandable, sir. we understand that. But the beautiful thing about mybcasino.ag, live dealers.
Yeah.
Like, we're to the point now with technology. It's still, basically, we never landed on the moon. We talked about that last week. It's a big scam. I'm complaining about Apple. Apple hasn't done jack, man. I'm working on Apple. Listen, if I kill myself, I'm being serious right now. If I commit suicide, which is a distinct possibility, if I do, I want you to sue Apple.
That's what I'm going to put in the lawsuit.
Yes, yes. No, I'm dead
serious.
It was
all the Apple product.
Yes, like basically that otherwise he was a happy man, but basically, like if somebody asked you, they were like, all right, Mr. Stewart, You know, you were around Morenci on a daily basis.
I was.
What was his mood like? And you could say he was himself, except he did talk to me a lot about his dislike of Apple.
True.
And how Apple was causing him a lot of grief in his life.
A lot of grief with the cords.
Yeah, so like,
a lot
yeah.
of grief with the afternoon soccer.
So that's what I'm saying. So like, if I like jump off my balcony or something like that, it's not because of a girl.
Knowing your luck, you'd survive.
Oh, me?
And just be mangled.
I'd land on my feet.
Yeah. Just break your legs.
I could fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it won't be because of a woman. Won't be because of debt. It'll be because of
computers.
Apple.
Yeah.
No, not computers. Apple.
Yeah, I don't have. I have a regular. No,
actually, computer. The Apples, it's, you know, I don't know. Whatever.
It does a lot of stuff. It's just hard to figure out. Don't you think?
It's just amazing to me that on a daily basis I get thrown a new curveball. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, restart this, redo. Oh no, you got a Johnson rod. You don't have a Johnson rod, right? You need the Johnson rod. It's like, yeah, I'm supposed to know that, right? Like, I know.
Johnson rod. That was a good one. I like that one. You're right. Babano's got a lot of plays. I'm just scrolling down.
Well, you're looking at Babano's plays today. I don't know.
It's a soft
night.
What's
his plays of today?
Oh, he's only got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
So what's
16,
the unit size?
No, half units.
So okay, so what's a half unit? So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to bet $16,000 a night?
Maybe his units are $10, $20, $50, $100. We don't know.
Like,
yeah, you're right. If his units are big, like you can't bet this board. You have one bad night, you're done. Like, you pack it in after the first night of the week. Sorry, here's my envelope.
I see Babano's college football mailing list. It's the entire card.
Oh, it's huge.
It's like it's literally the entire card.
I got it this weekend. Like, well, which, oh my god!
Yeah, which one? Like, you know?
No, just the regular ones. I was looking at the half unit plays, going, "Oh my god!"
I thought I had a lot of games for tonight, and I actually do. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
He's got 22. Yeah.
No, but that's just one email he's sending.
Sorry, we missed the Olympics.
Did you get the Olympic email yet?
No, I haven't opened it yet.
He's betting on Hawking to spit a lube. That's what he's laying it down on. All right, so mybcasino.ag. And if you're looking to play some fantasy sports, why don't you check out Fantasy Factor?
Exactly.
www.fantasyfactor1team.com.
No shark infested waters.
And if you want to donate a kidney, check out DKMS.
I'm thinking about that.
.com.
Maybe I should donate. No, I got lots of space in there.
First off, no. Number one, you're not thinking about that.
No.
I got to believe that hasn't crossed your mind once in the last, you know.
If a friend had.
You didn't walk in here thinking, you know what, I'm going to donate something.
No. I didn't.
And secondly.
I have to have surgery on my.
Secondly, your kidneys.
The thing that's in my stomach.
Your kidneys are tainted, man. They've been soaked in like
HP sauce?
HP sauce.
Tabasco?
Yeah,
my kidneys. Your kidneys
are they're saturated with Red Lobster biscuits.
Clarified butter? they're called Cheddar Bay biscuits, Gabe, for your information.
It's like me. Think anyone can take my lungs?
Oh, God, no.
You put my lungs in a kid, man. The kid's going to have the cough of George Burns.
That's true.
George Burns.
Love that guy. Can't believe how long he lived.
Was he ever funny, or is he just sort of a guy that was just there?
Just a guy who smoked cigars and was old. Hey, how you doing?
So, like, if you and I live to 100, will we be rich and famous and stuff not funny? No. And we're just, hey, there's Gabe. And I, ha, ha, ha.
We'll be broke and dead. Like, no, we're not George Burns. We didn't get any movies.
Like, was George Burns ever funny?
I don't know if he did stand-up. He did movies, though. He had cameos and he did stuff like that. He's just one of those guys. He's like, hey, it's George Burns.
This is pretty pathetic to admit, but I'm so old. I went to see a George Burns movie in a theater.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, the one where he plays God.
Oh God, you devil! Is that what it is? I think it is called. It's called Oh God, You Devil. That's exactly what
I don't
it
know.
Is. Yes, it is.
It's like a kid. There's like a.
It's
basically a kid and George
Say
Burns.
It, George
how's the
Burns
kid's
devil.
Got a.
Yeah,
George Burns.
It's called Oh God, You Devil.
Plays God.
Yeah, that's it. I remember. And he was then. He didn't he dress up as Satan too? And he wore a red outfit?
No, the movie was called Old God.
Oh, okay. That was called Old God, You Devil. That, maybe that was a sequel.
It was called Old God. What are you calling it?
I thought it was called Old God, You Devil. That's what it was.
You Devil.
Maybe it was a parody. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Sorry. Next. What's the movie review this week?
Oh, God. Okay, let me show. You're saying it's
no,
called...
No, go put Oh, God, You Devil okay. in there. It's a real movie.
Oh, God.
You Devil.
You Devil.
Yeah, watch what pops up. I guarantee. There it is. It is him. It is him.
Yeah, all
told
right.
You.
Good call.
Isn't that Milton Berle, too? I think he's there. He's the evil guy. Yeah. Oh, God, You Devil. See who played in it. Director Paul Bogart. Yeah, I knew I wasn't crazy.
Oh, God, You Devil, 1984.
I thought I was losing my mind for a while, Gabe. But that's John Burns right there. He's smoking a cigar.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what the hell this guy's talking about.
No, but I'm talking about it being correct. So good for me. Give myself the Barry Horowitz pat on the back. I knew it. That was a real movie.
Yeah, George Burns. I guess he's dead now. He can't live forever.
You think? Yeah, he's.
He made it to like over 100.
That's which is shocking. Like I don't think he lived like a saint.
You and I not getting that
100. I told you. Yeah, I know your doctor gave you words of encouragement, which is really good. But
I think he was lying.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm not fully buying it. Although Ted Savransky doesn't think I can make it to Super Bowl 75.
How many years is that? That's
we're at Super Bowl 53 this year.
So yeah, so you got 19.
I'm
years.
Making it to Super Bowl.
Of course, you're going to make
75.
That one. Yeah, you'll make that one for sure.
I'll make it to Super Bowl 75.
Super Bowl 100? That's a lot of work, but 75 for sure.
Yeah, you see, like the old lady that was like 100. The NFL gave her tickets and stuff. I guarantee you the NFL won't give us tickets.
No.
If I make it to 100, you think Roger Goodell? No, here you go.
Stay enjoy. Away from the stadium.
Yeah, you're still barred.
And where it depends. Get off our property.
You're still barred.
Did you want to look what was in the bag or you want to do that next next?
Yeah, day? We'll take a look at your bag a little bit later on. Yeah. I appreciate the offer, Ken.
It's okay.
No, we'll check into the back later.
Yeah, there's some loose items in there. So,
here's the story that I saw earlier in the day. We've been talking about this actually recently, that the FBI has been investigating college basketball for the last 14 months or so, Cam. Mm-hmm. Some college basketball coaches have been wearing a wire. NBA agents have been wired. Basically, yeah, they're turning on each other. There's going to be hundreds of indictments that are coming. There could be jail time. Various Hall of Fame NCAA coaches will retire in shame if they don't get charged criminally. And there's a fear, Cam, that this could happen before this year's tournament. Like the FBI source kidded that when it's all said and done, Tennessee Chattanooga are going to be a 2-seed this year in the tournament. Because basically there's going to be so many teams.
Wow.
And they said it's inevitable, even if they don't drop the hammer before the tournament, that the NCAA is going to get screwed because whoever wins is going to get nailed after for cheating because the top teams are basically all going to be getting shaken down. And it's already started as today, Cam. Louisville vacates their 2013 national title.
So do I get my money back for having Michigan in that game?
Well, I'm a Michigan fan.
Yeah, that's the thing. Now, Michigan, do they become the champions or are they under sanctions?
Are we not the champions now?
How are you going to get
the
money back?
We lost. Yeah, we lost. Yeah, we didn't cover either. You know what sucks about that game? Michigan was up by 22 in the first half.
I know they were.
If you remember little Spike Albright, remember the white kid couldn't miss a three. Bam, 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 bam. It was like, oh, my God, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And then they fell apart. But, yeah, so Louisville are a bunch of hooker sleeping, cocaine sniffing. Sounds like fun, but you can't do it. I didn't even care about that. But with the kickbacks and everything. So, yeah, like honestly, Kev, if an Olympian, so basically if you win the gold medal in the Olympics and then it turns out that you cheated or you have to give the medal up, everybody moves up one.
Exactly. That's right. But know what the problem
Michigan,
is?
Michigan, in my mind, we are the new champions.
So what
like, send us the freaking banner. You cheated. You're not the champ. You vacated the title.
The problem with these stories is you can never get what you're going to get because you can't go back 5 years and go, hey, where's my bets? Where's my futures? Where's my
no?
It means nothing.
So what does vacating mean?
It means nothing. That's what I'm talking about. If you can't,
it's like
back,
USC Trojans.
Who cares?
USC Trojans with Pete Carroll dominate college football, right, kick the crap out of everybody, win two championships.
These stories don't mean anything.
Then go to the NFL and then they vacated the title.
So you,
yeah, Reggie Bush. We know Reggie Bush. We know Louisville the champs. We know Louisville won. What's the point of vacating the title? If you're going to vacate the title, then you got to do it for real. Send Michigan a banner. Let's have a little ceremony and say, you know what? You guys are the new champ since the team is deemed ineligible.
Talking about it doesn't solve the problem. It's actually, you know what it does? It actually enrages you if you're Michigan because you say, wow, these guys are cheating. We could have won, but you know what? We're going to give you nothing for it. Actually, you know what? These stories are pointless and stupid because they don't do anything about
Vacant.
It. So who cares?
What the hell does that
doesn't
do?
Mean anything. We're like my, you said, we're my get, bookie. We had money on Michigan.
Doesn't get your money back.
Doesn't get anything back. I can't call the guy and go, hey, remember that bet I made 5 years ago? You owe me $500. We had Michigan in that game.
Thanks. It's the same crap. It's always the same crap with fights as well, Cam.
Oh, yeah. Down so back. Basically, no, he was using performance enhancement.
Yeah, so basically, it happened to me once, and it was an epic night. It was UFC 100, and we went 10-1. It was one of those just
special nights.
Yeah, it was one of those. We were in a zone. Boom, boom, boom. We went 10-1, Cam. Our one loss. We lost one. Would have won a big parlay. I remember Pie Man was there. Maybe if Pie Man, you're tuning in, what's up? I remember Pie Man missed out too. Pie Man was like 12-1 because I left off two fights.
Yeah.
Because I think there was 13 on the card. I left off one or two. Pie Man put them all. He only lost one. And it was Carol Parisian. And then basically, 48 hours later, Cam, on the Monday or the Tuesday, they're like, oh, he was on a bunch of pills. And, you know, so basically we got screwed. It was ruled like a no contest, except when you bet on it, dude, imagine your tickets ripped up.
I know.
It's a Saturday
it's
night
gone.
In Vegas. Like, yeah. What are you like?
You can't
you
get
threw
the bar,
it away.
You're
like,
what are you going to do? Get the barcode back, search the floor, and try to tape them together?
Yeah, but the thing is,
that's the thing.
But the thing is, the rule is whatever they announce in the ring. So when you bet on a fight and they announce the winner,
you're done.
They can say 10 minutes later, Buddy just shot someone backstage, is under arrest. We're taking a belt away. That's tough for you.
Yeah, he announced it.
Yeah, they announced it. Speaking of which, Ray Caruth could be getting out of jail.
Really?
Yeah, like soon.
Wow.
Like he's up for
his parole hearings coming up?
Yeah, get this. He wants custody of the kid.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
And you know, the kid is, he's challenged now, the kid.
Is he?
Dude, they put bullets in the pregnant chick's belly.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that case.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people, if you're unaware, Ray Caruth was a Carolina Panther wide receiver.
Yep, University of Colorado.
And he hired a bunch of thugs to shoot and kill his girlfriend who was pregnant.
Yep.
He wanted to eliminate her and the kid. The kid survived. She didn't.
Wow. Kids alive. That's unbelievable. And they're not going to let this guy out of prison. There's no way. There's no way he's getting out. No way. He won't get out.
It's only been 18 years.
It's not long enough.
No.
Not long enough.
You want to, if you want to.
You kill a pregnant mother, you can't do 18 years. It's not enough. Like, you have to do.
I got to be honest. I would tell him, listen, we'll talk to you in parole in 32 years, like 50 years.
I was going to say 35, 40.
Like, you know, maybe.
No, that means you're not. No, that's just a meeting.
Maybe we let you out when you're 70 to go for a walk in the park and die. Maybe. You can't let the guy out after this short. 18 years. He killed the woman. She was pregnant. The kid, like, was born with problems.
If he was in another state, he would have got the death penalty for killing a pregnant woman. Yes, you would.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you're not getting hard time. You're dying. You're on death row. But that's crazy. The fact that they're even thinking about the guy having parole, killing a pregnant woman, like, that's nuts. Hiring guys to do it, that's crazy.
It's amazing that this much time has passed by.
I know.
It's amazing that this much time has passed by. Man, time flies. Except I guess it hasn't for him.
No. No, it hasn't.
Philadelphia Phillies in talks with Jake Arrieta. Eh. Wouldn't mind the Milwaukee Brewers doing something, but is Arrieta the guy? I don't know.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions Radio. Red Heat and Rage. I'm Rage. He's Red Heat. Gabriel Moretti and Cam Short. We were talking about DKMS earlier and donating a kidney. If you can't, or for one reason or another, can't donate a kidney, and understandably is so,
yep.
You can donate money.
You can.
You can donate money to the cause and to help fight cancer. Check out the DKMS. Same people have sent you to the Super Bowl for the big game. Check that out at DKMS, www.fantasyfactor.com as well. All right, so we got a full slate of college basketball tonight. NBA basketball still off. They're not coming back until Thursday.
Long break. Long break.
You know, I understand that they needed a little while after the All-Star game, all the drinking that they did.
You know? All of a sudden, they're playing defense in these games now, too. It's like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah,
they all went under.
Yeah, the rookie sophomore game went under just because it sucked. And you know what? For the All-Star game turned into a real classic, actually. It was a good format. It turned out that it actually works. It doesn't really work in hockey, when they just sort of randomly pick the teams with the sticks, because there's no storylines. All the hockey guys kind of like each other. Even though they play hard against each other.
Very true.
It's not the same. There's not the same storylines in which, NBA players are more drama queens. There's more
more real hate there.
Yeah, well, Curry and, like Ovechkin and Crosby.
Man, there's not the rivalry you think.
Yeah,
it is.
It's not a personal sort of rivalry, exactly.
They want to beat each other, but it doesn't run deeper.
It was more the Penguins and the Capitals.
It was.
They were just in each other's way. You know what I mean? It wasn't. Crosby's not obsessed with Ovechkin. And Ovechkin's not obsessed with Crosby. Exactly. Yeah, they're not obsessed with each other. It's different. Like with Curry and LeBron,
it's just different.
It is different. They played in the finals a bunch of times against each other, three times. Curry's one of the few guys, younger guys, star guys in the league that doesn't defer to LeBron. Kevin Durant does. You see, Kevin Durant looks up to LeBron James. A lot of guys in the NBA look up to LeBron. They compete with him.
Yep.
Even the Raptors sort of look. DeMar and Kyle, when they lose to him, they're like, well, he's the best. He's LeBron. And, Curry doesn't look at it like that. Curry's like, I'm going to beat LeBron.
I like that attitude.
That's why he beats him. And Warriors aren't like, oh, LeBron, you're the king. They're like, screw you. You run your mouth all the time. We don't like you. And it translated into the All-Star game. But then you had the dynamic of Kevin Durant playing against his buddies and Curry and Green and stuff with, and then you had Kyrie Irving. There were just so many cool storylines intertwined in the game. And you could see the excitement when they won. LeBron James was stoked. He ran down the court.
They wanted it.
You think he won a championship. Kevin Durant jumped up and hugged him. Kyrie Irving was fist pumping. They were really happy that they won.
Listen, basketball, the All-Star games, everything sets up better for their sport. You'd rather have slam dunk competition. Yes, it's awesome. Then you have a three-point competition.
This year, the slam dunk competition sucks.
Hockey skills competition. So fastest skater, you're doing it off bumpers. It doesn't translate to something that is absolutely cool in comparison to basketball. It doesn't work.
It could work, but they don't do it.
Well, maybe we should put them together then, because they got to change it up.
Just off the top of my head, I would put objects on the ice. So basically, slap the puck through the car window.
Oh, yeah.
through both.
Yeah.
So, GMC's the sponsor. Yeah. You put a GMC pickup truck 10 feet in front of the net.
Yes.
You open up the windows.
And put it through.
And you put them at center ice, and you tell them, blast it through both windows. So, like, both passenger windows are open. See, that's off the top of my head. Wouldn't that be cool? I would watch that. I'd be like, man, PK Subban's taking shots trying to put it through a GMC Range Rover right now.
That's absolutely smoke.
And it'd be like, bang, bang, and the sound would be great off of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And guys are like, pow, pow. You know, you have, like, put some props, some gimmicks out there. Instead of, like, this fastest stuff, too, when they do the time, it's lame. Race.
Yeah, player
race.
Versus player.
Get guy and not turn. Yeah. Get a guy all the way to one end and all the way back. The
other end. Well, we used to do
that. You put him on both ends. Right. Exactly. The way they do it now, oh, we're going to try you. It's lame.
It is lame. It is, you know, so what I mean? Lame. Hey, you played hockey as much as me. Well, what did we do? It's showed you used to race down and back and down and back and down and back. And then when your team sucked, you put weights on your legs and you went back and forth and back and forth. See who can do it with weights on. You're absolutely correct. The way things are right now, it sucks. It's lame, and it's very. You're right. They're not very creative. They got to put some new stuff too. Even in the shot competition, they have little bumpers and things. Get better.
Yeah, they had this lame little passing competition as well. They were passing through this little thing. It was just boring.
Little nets, like.
And the All-Star game itself, was boring. The NBA All-Star game was good, but I tell you, it was the first time. They're starting to screw it up. NBA All-Star Saturday with the skills and the three-point and the slam dunk is always awesome. They've dragged it out too long. They finally started to jump the shark where, remember, like, Home Run Derby used to be annoying? It was just Chris Berman back for like 12 hours. It literally came on at 7 and it went to like midnight. It was like, God, man, just get this over with. And Major League Baseball recognized it. They put in the pitch clock. Now you it's 4 minutes. You get 4 minutes, you know, and you hit as many balls as you can in 4 minutes. It's more exciting. It's quicker. It's a two-hour operation. You get people in and out. The NBA dragged that thing on the other night, you know, far too long. Don't want to see that. And, you know, I got nothing against Kevin Hart, but if I wanted to see Kevin Hart, I'd go to a Kevin Hart movie. Yep. Coming into the NBA. That was another thing with the slam dunk contest. I'm betting on the slam dunk contest. It's a serious event. It's not a serious event if Chris Rock and Mark Wahlberg are the judges.
Yeah, it's a great point. You got to have you got to have somebody with NBA clout as judges.
In past years, this dunk judge was Dr. J.
Yeah,
Hakeem Olajuwon,
the originals,
Alonzo Mourning.
Yep.
Like it was, they always had NBA legends as the dunk judge.
You can't have not stars.
You've got Mark Wahlberg and Chris Rock. They were given 10s to everything. I'm never betting on it again.
It dumbs it down.
I'm never betting on that slam dunk stuff again because of the celebrity judges.
Yeah, well, they stuck.
I can't deal with that. What the hell does Chris Rock know?
That's another thing. This is not just an event. Like, people are you're placing money on these things. You have bets on these things, and these guys are impacting it. At least when Dr. J gives you a grade, you're going to listen. You're going to respect it. I'm with you. That's stupid. But anyway, it's still better than the NHL thing. They got a long way to go. Long way.
And then Fergie butchers
National Anthem. That was awful, too. Like, come on, man. Get it together. That's the thing. You're trying to do new lyrics, new ways to do things. It's a damn anthem. Sing the thing, man. Don't butcher it. No, but seriously, like, what, on the fly, I'm just going to, it's the Star Spangled Banner, Gabe. You don't go to a concert or your show and go, hey, guys, don't worry. Drummer, bass guy, I'm just going to go on my own for a little while. Just running, like, not even like going there. Like, that's just stupid and it makes no sense. And she embarrassed herself.
It was a bad hire.
Very bad hire. Very bad hire.
It was a bad hire. Yeah. Like,
it's bad hire.
Is there anyone
out?
I'm
with you with Kevin Hart too. Like, Kevin Hart's so saturated in the market now. It's just
like why Fergie? Yeah. Like, why? You know what I mean? Like, it's not like she's hot right now. No,
she's doing things.
She's
for
on
this,
the launch.
The launch. Yeah, exactly. Like, helping people get careers and stuff like that.
I don't know. I think
it's an American Idol.
I think the contestants on the launch should help her. How to sing the national anthem?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was brutal.
It's a good thing that launch is coming to an end, actually.
Oh, it's too much.
Because it'd be hard to pimp Fergie as some, like, you know, musical genius expert. It's like, really? And anyways, like, what has Fergie ever done besides shake her ass? She's got a nice ass, but
Black Eyed Peas? That's that. What if they want one hit wonders?
Nah, Black Eyed Peas were already, they could. She's just along for the ride. Like, the Black Eyed Peas, the hits weren't because of her.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
Like, they weren't written by her. She's actually pretty lucky she's gotten a career as far as she has out of this.
Really good point you bring up. Like, out of all the stars in the world, but you pick her to do the anthem when it's like NBA All-Star Weekend, you could came up with a million of people.
Well, basically,
Works for cheap?
No, basically, they limit their options because they need somebody who's white.
Crackers only?
Yeah. generally, like... Like, if you notice it, like, the NBA, like, look, I went to the NBA All-Star game in Toronto. Yeah. You know who the halftime act was?
Who?
Sting.
Yeah, that's right. Sting.
It's like...
Like, he's the farthest thing from basketball.
Yeah, but nothing against Sting.
No, but...
I liked Police.
Yeah.
He didn't play any Police songs, but yeah, I think he might have played one, actually. The whole thing is, though...
Don't dance so close to
me. Yeah, but the thing is... How does Sting represent
the NBA? He doesn't.
Their fans.
Not even...
At all. Like, Sting is at the bottom of the lake. It's like getting... You might as well have Kenny Loggins at this point.
Footloose.
Like, you think the average, like, NBA teenage fan, like, even knows who Sting is?
No.
And then when Sting starts singing, he's like this is...
Who's this white guy?
No, see, he's like, this is a song I hear at the grocery store in the aisle. It's like adult... It's like elevator music.
He is. He's even slower than
some. I like Sting, but I'm talking to people. I don't know, man. You know, everyone seems to like this Kendrick Lamar guy. Mm. You get Kendrick Lamar, man.
Yeah, that's a great point. Or hip hop, any hip hop act, somebody's not Sting.
Yeah, you know,
Sting is old white guy who's singing. Yeah, and great point. He's not even doing the hits.
Like, if you notice the NFL as well, the NFL is 75% black.
They play it safe too.
And you know, the NFL will either have like Lily White, sort of Timberlake, Britney Spears crap. Or they'll go country.
Yeah, that's true. We're going country.
We're going country.
Yeah, country. They like a lot of country.
Yeah, or they're going country.
Very true. It's so true, though. And these sports, though, they're basically saying to their fans, you know, screw off. We don't really
care. Yeah, because basically, but the fans freak out, Cam. Like, you know, Beyonce had, you know, a black glove on and made a fist. And they're like, oh, my God, it's a black power show.
Yeah, which is not.
And they're like, oh, the NFL is trying to overthrow society and... People are insane. I saw a thing the other day about how when Coldplay played at the Super Bowl, that basically they were brainwashing you for the New World Order. And
what, with their colors?
Yeah, so exactly. They had
they had that kaleidoscope type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Going on.
They had a kaleidoscope that sort of spun into a black hole.
Kind of like when you're at New Mexico in the pit.
Yeah, so sort of crazy people were like, they were inviting you into Satan's lair.
We love Coldplay. You are the best.
Oh, no, I'm telling you. Like, I'll show you.
That is so insane.
People are insane, though.
Yeah, you think? That's absolutely nuts. I can't even believe that people thought about that. Coldplay's also, I have to say, another horrible choice. Would you not, for the NFL, out of all the bands are playing some alternative hipsters like Coldplay? That doesn't fly. I'm with you. It's got to be either a good hip-hop act or even country, because country's kind of, hey, you know.
All right, so here's just one video I found right away. Look what it's called.
NFL Satanic Agenda?
The NFL satanic agenda.
Great.
Listen, yeah, the NFL is a lot of things. Evidently,
it's not a satanic agenda.
Yeah, the NFL is pushing evil on you, and I don't know.
Sorry, that's just so stupid. I love the big lion at the top. It's unbelievable. So they really actually said this. This is a true story about Cole. You can show me right now. Cole played the Super Bowl in Satan. I can't even believe this is happening. Everything. Wow.
Yeah, so basically, exactly. They're equating Beyonce, her pose, where she stands on the stage, and the symbolic images that basically the NFL is promoting Satan.
You can't even react. It's so stupid.
So I'm just stating,
it's just ridiculous.
This is why they keep it safe.
Yeah, okay. I got it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm reading your mail, Renzi. I'm reading it, man.
Like, they, wow. Because whatever happens,
people
are like, devil.
Devil, it's devil.
Yeah, like, people are, like, insane. And they get crazier when the person's not white. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man. That's just so dumb. I don't even know where to begin.
It's great. Which pop stars are promoting 666 and Satan? You know, Beyonce, yeah, she's guilty.
I don't know. Well, who... it's a bunch of crap. That's a joke. It's ridiculous. Lots of NHL picks tonight, buddy. Lots.
Yeah, so what's the deal? You're leaving us early again today.
Listen, Gabe, when they have President's Day on Monday and Family Day in the other area, they do the thing on Tuesday. So they called me for I'm doing Tuesday and Friday this week, not Monday, because he was off. Oakley was off. So we do Tuesday now on holiday weekends. You get my drift? You get the drift? Yeah, anyway, that's what they do. They call me. I kind of want to stay here, to be honest with you. I haven't talked to Sincata in a few days. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's Tony with us on Friday.
Yeah, he went to NXT. We'll see how that happened with the wrestling.
Well, I've spoken to Tony since Friday.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. That's straight up. I have not. I got an email from him, though, and his DraftKings picks were absolutely stellar. Fantastic.
You feeling better now that you had a slice of pizza?
I had half a slice, yeah. I feel a lot better, actually.
You seem a little less rattled, but you were rattled from the second you walked in today.
Yeah, I got a lot of things going on, but it's okay. I'll keep them to myself. It's personal stuff. Just dealing with a lot of financial issues and things that are happening. Anyway, we're not going to get into it. I really wish I had more money. It would take the edge off.
You know, it's funny.
Got a lot of bills.
It's funny you say that, actually, because I just saw an ad, actually. Do you occasionally use opioids for recreational purposes?
I think we've all given them a shot sometime in our lives.
Recently?
No, not recently, no. No.
Because basically, if you're willing to take a bunch of pills.
Oh, it's one of those studies.
Yeah. Okay. You got to sleep over, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. I can't do the show from the hospital.
You got to sleep over. They're willing to give you $5,000 to really, like, hop you up
that's
on a bunch of pills.
Good chunk of change.
It's probably a pretty good time.
Yeah. Well, can we bring this bit down there? We'll get a double room. Let's go.
All right, we'll hit the picks on the other side. A lot of picks.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
All right, no NBA. Their NBA returns Thursday. And then the sprint begins. Playoffs around the corner, March Madness around the corner. It's actually a good time of the year. It's sort of the calm before the storm in the sports world right now. March Madness. Now listen, conference tournament action is even cooler than March Madness.
I love the conference tournaments are awesome.
That's where you can make some real money, actually. You ride that hot hand in the conference, a tournament the week before March Madness. But March Madness sort of takes us right into the start of Major League Baseball. We're going to start talking baseball soon on the program. I'm starting to kick the tires right now on my Major League Baseball win totals. Totals have been released across the board. Most sports books are starting to pop up right now. Seeing 3, 4, 5 spots that I like. You have to be extremely patient, obviously, with a baseball win total. Betting it in April, you're not going to get paid until October. Yet, it's nice, you know, in that that first week of October when you get paid because
sometimes you need that money. It's just surprise money.
You're in the football season at that point.
Exactly.
So basically, you know, the Major League Baseball season ends on that last Sunday in September. And then, boom, October 1st for Monday Night Football, you've got some money.
I like it.
Because unfortunately, even if you mathematically won a baseball total, they're not going to pay you until after the year's over.
That's the way they do. They wait till the season's over.
It's the same thing like the Golden State Warriors right now. They're one loss away from not winning their season total this year.
But
so if you bet the under on a Golden State Warrior wins this year, they're one loss away from you cashing your ticket. Yet you'll have to wait. Like, they should pay you automatically right away.
I like that too, but that's just the way they do it.
They have to wait. Well, because
they do all the tickets.
Certain amount of games have to be played. That's what they have to wait for. Like, if you're betting the future, yeah, I think it's 76 games or 78 or whatever the hell it is. You got to read the fine print at different books, but that's why they actually make you wait. Some offshore places might pay you. Some offshore places might pay you right away, but you've got to wait it out. But futures, you get a decent number, actually, because if they're trying to bait you into betting this because they're going to be hanging on to your money for 6 months. But if you invested in a stock and you doubled your money in a stock in 6 months,
you'd probably take it out.
Well, that would be a massive success in the stock industry. You know, if you invested in a stock at $10 a share, and 6 months later it's worth $20 a share,
you're doing real good.
It would be deemed a massive success.
Correct.
So you have to look at it. Sports betting is same as investing, right? Like, when people talk about money lines, oh, it's not smart to lay -240 on this money line or -300 on this money line. Well, same thing as a stock. If you're making 33% back on your return in 2 hours and 20 minutes, Wall Street traders would kill for that. I don't know if Cardano's tuning in right now, but he knows, and Lou Mayon would know what I'm talking about. Sports betting is actually, you get better dividends.
Yep.
So, like, when you're in these futures, yeah, you got to wait. It's not ideal, but they're giving you a fair number. Because they're trying to entice you to actually bet this, because they know you're gonna be hanging on to your money for 6 months. But
a couple things are sticking out on the baseball board. It's going to be one of the biggest ugly teams, but the total's too low. Guess what? Bad baseball team with young talent is going to win more than 67.5 games. The Chicago White Sox.
The White Sox.
Yeah, they're 67.5. They'll win. They can win 70 games easy. Man. Like, some of these, the thing is, bad teams in baseball, a lot of the time they're going to win. Like, they can win 70 games. They can win 72 games. Like, I'm just saying that that total to me seems really, really low. Like, that's a low total for a team. That's not
they're a pretty bad team.
They are pretty bad, but I think they're better than 67.5. They're better than that. They're going to be better than that. Even, like, there's a lot of low totals out there, man. I don't know about the Marlins, though. They're really bad. They get the lowest total out there. See theirs? They are 65.5 right now. Yikes. But they have the thing about that, all the players they're lost and losing Stanton. They got major.
Yeah, generally you can have success taking the lowest win total out there. It's hard. It's hard to lose 100 games.
It is.
And not, teams don't often do it, really. Teams don't really ever lose 110 games or so. The White Sox at 67.5, 68. I think it comes down to the wire, basically.
I think they can win between 73 and 75 games.
It's not like their division is an ultra-competitive division.
That's what I'm saying.
They have the Cleveland Indians. The Kansas City Royals are aggressive. I think the Royals' win total is too low. I think it's 71.5.
71.5, yes.
Yeah, I think that's too low for the Kansas City Royals.
Seems a little low.
Every year, and you get it, Royals have begun the dismantling process a bit. But basically, it's been a couple of years now that people are saying, the Royals are done. The Royals, they're not going to pay their players. They're trading people. The Royals have a good farm system, and the Royals have good young players, and the Royals just sort of play baseball the right way. I'd be surprised if the Royals lost. So what, 70? So basically, they'd have to lose, 90 games?
Yep. That's a lot of games.
91.
A lot of games. What about the Tampa Bay Rays? Take a look at the team. I know it's a very tough division. 76.5. That looks low to me. The Blue Jays, 81.5. That seems too high.
Yeah, the Blue Jays.
That one's too high.
The Blue Jays winning 82 games is too ambitious.
I think it's very ambitious.
I could see it, if they made it
high 70s.
80.5, 79.5. I don't think. And the thing with the Toronto Blue Jays is, and you have to look at this, guys, when you're betting Major League Baseball totals. What is the plan of the team coming into the year? Where are they at in their development? Are they trying to win? Are they spending money? Are they trying to rebuild? Are they trying to trade their players? Do they have a bunch of players they're going to trade? come the trade deadline. You have to identify what's the team's mindset coming into the year. And we know Toronto Blue Jays' mindset is basically to get, to get nine guys on the field that aren't terrible but aren't going to cost us a lot of money just so we can sort of have a product to sell. You know, like the Blue Jays are completely just a business operation right now as opposed to a baseball team.
And it's going to get worse and worse when they start to lose against the good teams and start to sell the assets.
Thing with the Blue Jays is, so Josh Donaldson and the Blue Jays not seeing eye to eye on a contract extension, and they're not going to give him the money, essentially.
No,
so when
not.
He says we're not seeing eye to eye, basically, it means I'm leaving.
Bye. Yep.
So obviously the Toronto Blue Jays would be stupid to just let him walk and not just trade him.
Mm-hmm.
So now the circus begins, and the season hasn't started yet. The exhibition season starts on Friday in a couple of days, and already you're going to have a circus-like environment around the Blue Jay organization, and everyone's going to always be asking. Every city they go to, people are going to be asking Josh Donaldson about the free agency and, you know, what would you play in this city? And, you know, the Blue Jays are going to trade him. And they're not going to get better when they trade him.
No, they're not. They're going to get
worse. Maybe they'll get good players.
Yeah.
And they'll be good in a couple of years after it.
That's the thing. They'll get some progress.
But if they trade Donaldson this year,
they'll be worse.
Yeah. It's not like, oh, they're going to be suddenly be a much better baseball team, you know, 2 weeks after that. They can only really go backwards, the Jays.
That's what I'm thinking. My thing is, I think there's going to be true regression. Not only do you have the same team that's coming on the field are going to be worse when you start to lose, the Yankees have gotten better, the Red Sox got assets, everybody in the damn division, it's a murderer's row. How the hell are these guys going to compete?
Well, you got to, that's a problem. You got to play the Red Sox 19 times. You got to play Yankees 19 times.
And they're going to smoke this team this year. So that you could chalk up a lot of losses there, and then you have to go against the other divisions.
The thing is,
you
the have Blue Jays
put huge winning streaks together. I don't think it's going to happen.
They're not a bad team.
No, they're average.
Like if you look at their lineup, it's not a bad lineup. You know, like they're going to score some runs. I mean, you got Curtis Granderson in left field now. That was a nice signing. The thing is, with Granderson is, he's just sort of an add-on piece. He's not an everyday left fielder that's going to put you over the top right now. Like they're just sort of. You know, they just sort of piece this together.
Yes.
You got Pilar in center field. Nice.
No, he's good defensively, but his bat still needs work.
Grishuk in right field.
Still a prospect. We'll see what happens. Could get better.
Yeah. You know, it didn't work for him in St. Louis. We'll see if it can come together. You got Smoke at first base.
He had a career year. Could he do it again? That's a lot to ask.
Devin Travis is a stud at second base. Tulowitzki.
Old. Ugh. Beaten down.
Tulowitzki.
Great career, but getting
there's
older
no way.
The
yeah, there's no way he's not going to get hurt.
That's the thing.
You got Donaldson at third, which maybe. Until what? Until July.
Until when?
Yeah, until July.
Exactly. See? That's what I'm telling you. That told
you know, their lineup doesn't blow. You know, they got Kendrick Morales is the DH, Russell Martin.
Runs. Yep.
Then you get into the starting pitching. Is the pitching good enough?
No, it's not. It's not good enough.
You got Stroman as your ace.
He's your ace.
Jay Happ.
He's okay. Serviceable. Sanchez. A lot of guys who can get hurt too, Gabe. It's just when you look.
Marco Estrada.
Yeah, when you look up and down the lineup, it's just.
None of them are bad guys, but
no.
Basically all of them, they're all sort of just 14 and 12 guys.
Yeah, they're journeyman, serviceable MLB players.
Stroman's
with
not really.
With Stroman as your
And he's not really ace yet. He's still
ace junior. Like he's right in the second tier.
Yeah, like Stroman, you know, get to 15, 16.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. Last year, it was one of my best baseball prop picks that I gave to people. I said Marcus Stroman over 10.5 wins.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually nailed that in August.
For sure.
And it's a good thing he did because he hit the wall, actually, when he got to 11. He did. He got there. And I remember, like, wow, that was so easy. I remember I was like, man, it's August 6th, and I already cashed this. And then he got hurt, and then stuff happened.
Yeah, things happen.
I'll be keeping my eye on this. I like a lot of those season-based baseball-long props. But once again, you have to have patience. But you look at the Jays lineup, it's a good lineup, but it's not a great lineup, Cam. It's a 500 caliber lineup.
Or slightly.
Shaded to the under.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
I was going to say 500.
So it's like, yeah, you know what? If everything went right for you guys,
you'd win
86 games.
That's, yeah. Well, if everything went right.
I'm saying, 84, if everything went well for these guys, You know, I think you could win 84, 85, 86 games.
It's not going to go all right.
Everything won't go well.
No.
They never goes well. The Blue Jays are a dysfunctional organization, and bad stuff will happen to them. They'll upset their players along the way. The Donaldson stuff will be a major distraction. They're going to trade him.
Look what they're dealing
with. Tulowitzki will get hurt. Somebody else, one of the young guys will get hurt. Kevin Pillar is going to use a derogatory term for a gay person or something.
Think about how he didn't play well after that happened.
No,
he didn't. And Estrada went through some personal stuff. He didn't pitch as well. I'm going to tell you something. You're going into a season where you have a negotiation with your best
pitcher
that didn't go well, and now your other best player on – so here are your two best players. You got Stroman and you got Donaldson, and now you're going in – penny pinching.
Oh, yeah.
You pissed off your best pitcher, and now you're going to piss off your best hitter. Good. That's not good for business.
No, when everyone in the room knows Donaldson's gone.
Exactly. That's it. I think 81.5 is way ambitious. Yeah. Way ambitious. I think it's one of the best bets on the board in baseball.
It's going to be tough for them. Like I said, they're a 500 caliber team, shaded to the under. You throw in the fact that they have to play against the Toronto Blue Jays, have to play the Yankees and the Red Sox. Listen,
even the Rays and Orioles aren't the Rays. They try to compete too.
That's the Rays and the Blue Jays and the Orioles and the Jays, they're sort of going to be evenly matched. So they're just going to sort of split, right? They're just sort of going to split it.
You do the math. That's not.
Although last year is weird, though. The Toronto Blue Jays have played well against the Boston Red Sox. They don't against the Yankees. The Yankees mess them up all the time.
They do.
For some reason, they've beaten maybe it was the John Farrell thing. And, you know, the Blue Jays have had success against the Red Sox. Red Sox pick up J.D. Martinez yesterday as well. But, yeah, I like the Blue Jays under the 81.5. We talk about the Milwaukee Brewers a lot. I'm a little bit concerned with the Brewers pitching.
This is the problem with the Brewers thing. When it opens up, it's going to be a steam movement. And you know in baseball futures, when a team goes, like, keeps on climbing and climbing and climbing, things get bad. Like, if you like the Brewers, you got to jump on it now because I think a lot of people are going to hit the over. They made some great acquisitions, but you're right.
Well, it's 85.5 now.
I see 84.5 on mine. So that's
say 84.5, that's not bad.
Yeah. But I get it if you like it because I think it's probably going to go up to around, 86. I'd say around that number by the time the season starts because people buy into the Brewers, what they're doing and stuff, and that never goes well from a betting perspective.
They have a new look offense right now and new look outfield, man, with Christian Yelich, Lorenzo Cain.
Love it. Lots of speed there, too.
Yeah, you've got Ryan Braun, although Ryan Braun has said that he could play in the infield if needed. Pitching is somewhat the problem here, though. Starting pitching is somewhat of the issue here. You got Anderson, Davies, Chassin, Gallardo.
Yeah. And those are guys like Anderson had a career year. Like, can he do it again? You know what I mean? You look at some of those guys. Yeah. Their pitching is very, very suspect.
They're going to be able to score runs.
That's the thing. The Brewers, they're going to be able to rake.
One thing, though, I'll say about the Milwaukee Brewers, unlike the Toronto Blue Jays, Cam, which we know the Toronto Blue Jays are going to be sellers.
Milwaukee will be buyers.
Yeah, the Brewers have obviously shown we're willing to spend money.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a good thing going there. Their stadium's always full. Everyone, they're selling beer for real cheap.
Great
there.
Deals at Miller Park. Got Billy the Brewer sliding down there. Good prices.
We should go there sometime.
That seems
good time
like our
to
type
go.
Of town. Nice cheap dogs and drinks. We can get around.
A lot of Badger fans, though.
That's okay. Good to party with. Just don't play blackjack with them. You know that. We're not going to go to the casino. We're just watching a baseball game.
Man, waiting in line would take a long time. They're going to get to the front of line.
I won't know. Schneider wise.
$6.50. They'd be adding up the beer, Kev.
$3.25.
$3.25 Budweiser.
Oh, no.
$4.25 Heineken. Yeah, that's times two. That's
9, 4, 13. Yeah, you got 13, brother. Blackjack with a Badger. It's tough.
Anytime if I'm sitting at a table playing blackjack and a person needs to count the cards out loud,
now,
like
you gotta
change tables.
I like Philadelphia, Gabe. I like the Leafs. I like the Leafs over and the Lightning in hockey, baby.
All right, Cam, we'll see you tomorrow.
Love you, buddy. Have a good one.
Tony Cicada will join us in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk some NHL DFS because that's all that's going
on. Does your fantasy team suck? Maybe you need us. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The only free 24/7 fantasy sports radio network.